Like Iava Cindy, isn't it nice? Yeah, yeah.
It's just keeping the conversation that stuff. You know, it becomes differentiated.
Differentiated, exactly. And it'll be nice when we'll go through and attach all of the sutras on these, so you can start with that next week or the week after. There's still some preliminary things to do. Okay, so does everybody have their handout? I need mine. Before we get started on these sutras, let me tell you a little bit about this book. If you notice on the cover it says Laghu Siddhanta Kalmudi. The Ashtadhyayi, for those people who really want to learn, take for the long term, you could get this book, volume 1 and 2. It's the Ashtadhyayi of Panini. It's good because it has the Sanskrit, it has the Vritti, which is just a little Sanskrit explanation of the verse. There's no Bhasha, there's just a short explanation of the verse in Sanskrit. Then there is a translation of the verse, which is very awkward English. I'm copying the translation here so you can see how awkward it is, but it helps, it still works. And then it has from the Katyayana Kashika, from the Kashika and the Mahabhasha, and there's a lot of examples and extra information. So what the Ashtadhyayi is, means 18 chapters, it's put in the original order. This is what Panini wrote, right? So Sutra 1 is Sutra 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. And that's really wonderful to study. But you just have to love Panini to study it in that order. And you would have to know all 4,000 sutras to be able to go back and pull out the sutras that are necessary to do, like, say, the Yansandhi, or to do a verb formation. You know, because sutras are taken from all over. The Sandhi sutras are here, and the Paribhasha sutras are over here, and, you know.
But they actually build sequentially in the 18 chapters?
They build sequentially in Panini's mind.
Well,
yeah, and it's wonderful.
That's how you learn, right?
Yeah. But say you studied Sanskrit grammar and you learned the present tense and learned all the present and past tense, and then you learned the future tenses and all of this. Maybe you would like to be able to go through and see what sutras were involved in formation of the present tense, or what are all the sutras involved for Valsandhi, right? Siddhanta Kalmudi rearranges Panini to be able to put together the groups of sutras that would be put all the way through the Ashtadhyayi, arranges them so that you would know, okay, this sutra and this sutra and this sutra, all of these are necessary for coming up with this particular formation, right? And those sutras could be drawn from many different places. Now, if you've studied the Ashtadhyayi in total, you would know that, and it has its own logic to it. But this allows you, the Siddhanta Kalmudi puts it in that order for you, and it makes it easier to study if you just want to learn the aphorisms or the sutras that are involved in any particular word formation. Now, Laghu Siddhanta Kalmudi, this guy must have said, oh my God, these are too many sutras for a beginning student. So let me just pull out the most important sutras in Siddhanta Kalmudi that you have to know, right? And I'm even looking at this and I'm thinking, why did they include that one? But, right, because to me, but actually, we're just taking at his word. that he has pulled out of the Siddhanta Kalmudi all the most important sutras. Lagu means short. It's the shortened, abridged. It's the abridged Siddhanta Kalmudi. So now this abridged Siddhanta Kalmudi is something I know that... who's there? Not Viditatmananda, but Tetravidananda, I think, is teaching this at the ashram now. That's what somebody told me, or maybe he taught it last year. And that this is a book that often will be used just to make a person very familiar. Right? So say we were to go through, you understand this, then you're in good shape to do a thorough study. That's the idea. And also this will give you enough grasp of Panini so that when you're reading the bhashas, the Vedanta bhashas, like Shankara's bhasha, he'll often refer to a sutra, right? And so you'll know, you'll also know how to look up the sutra, what a sutra is, be familiar. So it's probably a really nice book for us to go through. I've kind of committed us to going through the Sundays, and how much farther I can go, I'm not sure. It depends on the work at school. I've been on sabbatical, so I'm not sure how that is. But, you know, this is good, just to get a good start. So that's what this book is. Now, if you noticed, I don't know if you got this. Did you give everything? Did you give Bria everything? The handouts?
Yeah.
The Sanskrit handout?
Uh-huh.
That's from this.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, good. I have this.
Oh, you have this. Okay, good.
I've never really looked at it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it did what you just described. It's great.
Yeah. So if you just thumb through this, you'll see what I copied, you know. You can try to read through it. I can read most of it. Sometimes if you just run through, like where it says Lagu Siddhanta Kalmudi, you'll see that there's the Maheshwarani Sutras there.
What page are you
in? It's just page 9, unnumbered. This one, page 9.
Right towards the beginning. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have the handout of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, do you see how there's the two sizes of... See how there's two sizes of script? First of all, there's the sutra. The sutras will be in bold. Then there's one size of script, which will be what we'll be working with. That's going to be the vritti, right? Or if you go to... Actually, turn the page over. To page of 10?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you see that the sutra is going to be in bold? Mm-hmm. Then underneath it is what we call the vritti. Just going to be a few lines. So most of those I can read. When I can't read, we'll just circle it and I'll find out. I know what most of them say. Now, if we go down to the smaller print underneath, the line underneath, mm-hmm. that's like a little commentary explication of the vritti. And that, more often, I can't read because I don't know what they're talking about. When that's the case, we'll just circle that. Well, I'm not going to try to be reading this. I'm actually going to be trying to read this, which is much simpler for me. When there's something important in this that I can read, I'll share it with you. Okay? And also, a lot of what is included in here, not as an actual... word-for-word translation, but it's in this Vasu. Mm-hmm. This is volume 1 and 2, so that's a good book to have. Another good book to have, I called John at the ashram. This book is actually out of print now, but it's called A Dictionary of Sanskrit Grammar. It's really a valuable book. So what he is thinking of doing is making a copy of it, you know, a double-sided copy that we can bind.
Great.
Unless you can look on Amazon. Do some searches and see if you can find a copy. I would definitely get this if you can find it. Yeah. You might have a couple of copies, but it's a valuable book, so he's not going to give up all his copies because it's valuable enough that we have to make copies of it for our students at the ashram.
Right.
So, okay, so there's that. And then there's all kinds of Ashtadhyayis. this is, all this is, I think I passed this around last week, but this is just a list of the sutras in order, but it also puts in bold on each sutra, it'll put what is the anuvritti. Remember this term, anuvritti? That's what the words that are coming down from a previous sutra is called, the anuvritti. And so you have to be able to know what words are coming down. So this particular version, I'm not sure how to get copies of it, but this particular version makes the anuvritti very clear. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's something that if you get serious about Panini.
So you would use this in conjunction with the big...
I would use that.
I mean, this is the key toward the large one, right?
It is, and it's, you can, at a glance, see all of the sutras.
It's like a table of contents almost.
Except that each one's a sutra. And
right.
<it's> gonna, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So it's kind of, it's a nice thing to have. Anyway, whatever we need in this class, I'll make copies of, but I probably be hard to make a copy of these two volumes, mm-hmm. not worth it. Mm-hmm. Okay. We did the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We did the first 6 sutras yesterday, I mean last week, right, for everybody? So, I'm going to read down through these sutras and then we're going to continue on, just so you can understand them. And I want you to notice that these sutras are in order. I've left out a couple of sutras because they're esoteric and we're not going to need them for a long time. So I've just put in the sutras that we need. But let's look at the first one. Vidhiradaich. Can you repeat after me? Vidhiradaich. So, vidhi, at, aich. The takara, long ah, you know, I ouch. Vidhi, at, aich. Adengunaha.
Adengunaha.
At the short ah, ing is the pratyahara, aeon. Okay, so these are he starts out his whole panini with these two, vidhi and then guna. Then, iko guna vidhi. Ikaha, sixth case, 4 ik letters, right? Guna and vriddhi. It means the guna and vriddhi terms are meant for the ik letters. Ik is the pratyahara, okay? Simple vowels except for a. Okay, now skip some. We're down to 117. Halo, halon taraha samyogaha.
Halo,
Sam Yoga. Okay. Halaha, nominative singular, consonants, plural, I mean, nominative plural. Consonants which are anantaraha, have no space between them, just side by side, Sam Yoga are called Sam Yoga, or Sam Yoga means conjunct consonants. Mukha nasika vachano nasikaha. So, mukha nasika vachano nunasikaha. Mukha, say.
Mukha
nasika vachano nunasikaha. So, Sandhi is mukha nasika vachanaha anunasikaha. So, vachanaha, that which is uttered, pronounced. With the mouth and the nasal, with the mouth and the nose, are called anunasika. Okay, so how they translated it, that which is pronounced by the nose along with the mouth is called anunasika or nasal. Example: this is something I added. Nasalized vowels and semivowels. Nasalized vowels and nasalized semivowels. Okay, and the nasal consonants nyam nyam ng
ng ng. It's kind of funny how in this. One, you know, in the sutra, he doesn't, because the first couple are so specific about the letters, and this one is just kind of more generalized. I mean, the anunasikas are not said using, you know, like using num or You know what I mean? It's kind of a more generalized.
That's right. It does say, you're right, it does say in the vritti. In the Sanskrit, it'll say, and in the commentary, it'll say, well, what do they mean by that?
Oh.
Right? Okay. Okay, everybody okay so far? Let's look. This is now a very important sutra. Tulyasya Priyatnam Savaranam.
Tulya
Asya Priyatnam Savaranam. If I break the sandhi. Definition of Savarana, letters. Mm-hmm. Savarana, letters, are where the asya, which means the place where the letter is made, the stanam, where it's made. It's also called stana. Asya and stana are synonyms here. The stana, the place where the letter is made, and the priyatnam are the same. Okay? So, those whose place of utterance, asya, and effort, priyatna, are equal are called savarna, are homogeneous letters. So I give an example. The 18 forms of etc. are savarna letters. We'll see another sutra that will expand the savarna letters. But if you remember, like the what's the asya for this? You have to memorize this. Kanta. Kanta, right? So, and the priyatna. And it's always going to be abhyantara priyatna.
Vivrata.
So these things you have to know in Sanjit Sapalana. So, since the asya and the priyatna are the same, right? Excuse me. They'll be savarna. Okay? Except, and now if you look at the next one, we're going into new territory now. Mm-hmm. Naj Jalal. Repeat. Naj Jalal. Let's break the sandhi. Na Ach Jalal. Na Ach Halal. See if you remember these sentences. Right.
Let's take a look at this.
I write the sandhi. Na Ach. It's going to be a compound. Anybody remember this sandhi? When you have a ha, which is following a mute letter, it will change to the third of its class, and this will go to the second. So uch would become uj. And the ha would become ja. Does it ring a bell? Huh? Do you remember the sutra? I mean, do you remember the sandhi?
Yeah, probably.
My students might not remember it. From the ones who have been studying from the beginning, from the because I don't even remember if I've ever taught it, actually. If you have a mute letter, means a first through fourth letter, okay? If you have a first through fourth letter from the gutturals down to the labials, followed by a hakara, the letter ha, that ha will go to the fourth of the class. In this case, it would go to the fourth of the chakara, which would be ja. And this, of course, then you have the consonant sending. This would have to go to the third ja. Okay? So uch halal becomes uch jalal. Remember? Yeah. We'll get to that in detail. I'm not doing a whole sending. It's called whole sending, consonant sending right now. So na plus ach would become naj. Na ach would be notch. Mm-hmm. And then because of the whole, the cha and the h, this would go to cha, this would go to cha, this would go to cha. Okay? What does it say? Not.
Not.
What is ach?
The vowels.
Vowels. What is whole?
The consonants.
It could only mean the last ha, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
Almost always whole will mean but all of the consonants. So not vowels and consonants together. They're not savarna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you because look, if I had the letter a and the letter ha, okay, the a is what? Guttural.
Oh.
Right. Well, first of all, what's the asya? Guttural, which would be kanta.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this?
The same. I have to tell you a little special thing here.
What is the asya, the prayatna? Vivalita. M for H?
It's
the Ishat Vivalita. Okay.
So they're different efforts?
No. That's what I have to tell you. This is something to make note of.
Okay.
And we don't know if Ishat Vivritta comes later. Panini views in terms of Asya and the Prayatna, in terms of the Abhyantara, Vivritta and Ishat Vivritta are considered the same.
Same.
Yeah, okay. But we learn, how we learn the Ishat Vivritta is what? The sibilance and ha, with ha, right? Mm-hmm. And the vowels are Vivritta.
Mm-hmm.
But in this type of thing, the vivata is the Ishat vivata is not taken into account.
Hmm.
And in fact, in this Laghu Siddhanta Talmudi, when you look at the chart, they'll have Ishat vivata as an option. Right. So that's just something to make note of. Similar example they give is Isha. It's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Asya, this the Shakar, no, E, sorry.
Yeah. Was it a different...
Did I make a mistake on here? Right. No, I got it right. Good. Okay. What's the Asya? Talu or Talavya?
Mm-hmm.
Which means palatal? Talu, Talavya?
Mm-hmm.
Talu means palate. Talavya means palatal. Okay, that's the distinction there. So here, the E and the Sha, Talavya both,
mm-hmm.
and both Vivrita or Ishat Vivrita mm-hmm. considered the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Naj Jalal is taking care of that problem. They are not Savarna. Even though the Asya and Prayatna are the same, that we don't apply the Savarna between vowels and consonants. So now, if you look at the bottom of the page, where I have written there, Naj Jalal.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody see on the bottom of the page there? Look over to Padani. You see Padani? Padani means the words. It breaks the words. Naj Jalal. It's done all the Sandhi for you. And then, do you see in the parentheses, Savarana?
Mm-hmm.
That is the Anuvritti,
right.
Which is brought down from the previous sutra.
Right.
So what does it say? Na Savaranam. Aj Halal. Aj and Ho. This is a dwandva compound, that's why the dual, halal, right? Ach and hal are not savarnam, na savarnam. So the anuvritti is being brought down from the preceding sutra. And here in this, that's put in parentheses. Another thing just for you to note, it's okay here, but the cases of the anuvritti can change. In other words, if the anuvritti is in the nominative singular in the preceding sutra, that doesn't mean it's going to be a nominative singular in the following sutras. It may be, but it may not be. And you can always tell that from the vritti. And they will always tell you, I never take for granted. I mean, once when I learn a sutra, I always then learn the anuvritti and study it, and I understand where the anuvritti is coming from. But you really don't take that for granted. Like this little, the book that I was passing around, wherever it is. Yeah. That will always tell you what the anuvrittis are. Like, for instance, in this verse where, in this one, in this sutra where it says 119, to the side of it, it'll say something like, this goes to, it'll have a little number there like, say, 11 or 12. And that means that this anuvritti that's in bold will go all the way down to Sutra 11.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the Savarana, I think it does go quite a few sutras, but if the Savarana were only going to, as an anuvritti, were only going to go down to the next sutra, then it would just say Sutra 10. It would have a 10 right there. So, and what is the anuvritti in that particular book will be put in bold. Some of the books, the Ashtadhyayis, where they just do the Pata, which is just the enumeration of the Ashtadhyayis, won't give you the anuvrittis, so we want them to give it to us.
Okay. Savarnam are only in relation. You can only call a letter Savarnam in relation to another one. So you can say, is a Savarnam with all these other written forms.
That's right. So you say Savarnam.
Definition just by itself. You can't say this letter is a Savarnam. It's only a Savarnam.
Well, you're going to call, yeah, you're going to say, what letters are Savarnam with this letter?
Right.
A equals B. A can't equal.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just saying, like, consonants, you can say, you know, ka is a consonant, but you cannot say a is a savarnam, because savarnam is not on the same level of definition as a consonant or a vowel. It's only relational.
Yeah, exactly. It's relational. It's grouping. What are the savarna letters? So here's an what are the savarna letters to it? There's a sutra that we'll get to that'll actually define what the savarna letters are. We're not there yet. Okay. Because in this, you know, I didn't know what to call it. I just called this initial sutras. What I did was go through the first chapter of the first pada in order to pick out the important sutras. There's more to add also, but these are really important sutras. And I kind of wanted you to be able to show you the order of the Ashtadhyayi. That's why I did this. As soon as we go to the Lagu, that isn't there. That's why we're doing this first. Okay? Okay, let's go to the next page. Is everybody clear on the Snobs Jalal?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the next one. Now I want you to take notice. Some of these we've already done in another context, but I want you to look at the numbers. 1149, 1150, 1151. Then we're skipping a bunch of them, then 1166, 67, 68. 6, 9, and 70. So we can kind of see how these sutras are grouped together. Let's look at the first one, Shashti Stana Yoga. You know, when I gave you that handout called The Technical Uses of the Case, that's where we've seen these sutras. When do you use the sixth case? Technically, because Panini has a technical use for the sixth case, the fifth case, the seventh case, and the third case, which I haven't found the sutra for that yet. But for these other cases, he has a technical use for. And so I wanted to go over these and then give some examples. I've already done a lot of this, so let's take a look at this one, Shashti. Shashti is in the nominative singular, feminine, Shashti. Stane yoga, yoga. It's been a bahuvrihi actually to Shashti. The sixth case, and this is a compound where it's called Vedikarana compound, where even though it's a compound, the case affix remains. There are some compounds like that, right? So Stana Yoga is a compound. That means the sixth case, right, has its application, technical term. Its application, its yoga, has the meaning of Stana, in the place of. In the Stana means in the place of the place of.
Oh, so yeah? This is actually saying that.
Yeah, the sixth case, the Shashti, has the yoga. I mean, its application, grammatical application, is stane, in the place of, is how that stane is translated. And so, how have we done this? With this sutra, which we looked at the other day, I believe. We'll look at it again now, just to appreciate this. For an ik letter. Right? Hikaha yan achi. In the place of an ik, this is sixth case. Yan is the first case. What is achi? Yeah, let me break the sunny. Seventh case. So we need a sutra for the second case, the first case. Here's the sutra for the sixth case. In the place of an ik letter, right? What's an ik letter? Simple vowel.
Simple vowels.
There is yan. In the place of an egg, there is yin. Right? That's the audacia. Remember we went over this last week before? There's the audacia. When followed by. Seventh case means when, translates as when followed by. Right? The seventh case will affect what comes before it. So let's look at the example that we just went through. Say if I take Hari, or Hari, and then say Aham, or something like that. E, plus any dissimilar vowel, right? Here's the ik. So in the place of an ik, this E. When followed by an uch, what is an uch? Any vowel.
Any vowel. Right.
So when it's a similar vowel, there's going to be a limiting sutra. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll see that later, but just now, all we want to understand is the sixth case. So, in the place of an ik, uch, when followed by a vowel, in place of a simple vowel, when followed by an uch, there is yin. Okay. So that says yin sundi, right? Which we've already learned, didn't we? Yin sundi. Mm-hmm. See why it's called yin sundi?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's just an example which we're going to build on. So this would be hari yaham. Hari aham, hari yaham. Is everybody clear on this? All I want you to understand is that the sixth case here in the sutra, in the place of an ik, there is yin, first place. The audacia will be put in the first, when followed by uch.
And so ikko yin uchi is a sutra that will come after Shashti Sani Yoga, because Shashti Sani Yoga would already have made clear how to deal with ikko in the sixth place in that sutra.
This is a good point. Look at the sutra number for ikko yin uchi. 6177. Okay. What is the Stani Yoga? 1149. Long, long ago. From the standpoint of Ikko Yenichi, which is 6177, it's a long time ago that we had memorized this, had learned this sutra. That's why in the first chapter they'll do many, many of what we call the Paribhasha sutras, Paribhasha, actually. Those are the explanatory sutras. You know, how Panini uses cases, what the terminology is for different words, all of these things will come. Like the first two sutras, Vriddhi Ra Daich, terminology. This is what we mean by Vriddhi. This is what we mean by Guna. So many of these, this is how we use the sixth case. Those are Paribhasha sutras, explanatory sutras. So we get rid of a lot of those who are taken care of in this first chapter. Like, of course, because then he can...
Just use them.
Yeah. Okay. Now, there's another important sutra here. I'm going to keep Ikko Yin Uchi on the board just so we can refer back to it. So this sutra number is 1149.
So that also means that up to sutra number 49, we cannot just use the sixth case as meaning... Replace,
and it won't be using it, yeah. That's right. Yeah. There are some sutras that work backwards, but they only work backward to one or two sutras. Back one or two sutras. And it's confusing.
Yeah. But there's no like use of cases until at least 49 or
that's
more.
Right, yeah. Okay? Okay, so now let's look at the next one. And the number of the next one is 1150. Stani Antaratamaha.
You mean
1150?
Yeah, what does that mean, 1150?
That's the number of the sutra.
Oh, okay, this one. Okay.
This one here is 1149. This is what that little...
Yeah. Okay.
So this sutra number is 1149. This sutra number comes right after it. And there's an anuvritti that's coming down from some previous sutras that I had skipped. Okay. Adeshaha.
That replacement doesn't necessarily need to go to every sutra, but if it's useful, it will. Okay. So this adesha here is an anuvritti. So if we see here, stane antaratamaha adeshaha, that's the padani. So just repeat after me. Stane antaratamaha.
Antaratamaha.
You know the tama affects? Tara and tama affects? Tama is a superlative.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Here, antara, what antara means is that which is the closest. The closest to the stani. Right? So stani, when a common term is obtained as a substitute, that's audacia, right? The likest of its significance to that in the place of which it comes is the actual substitute. I'm going to go through and put this in modern English, but let's just look at what it is. Let's see what the problem is. Here you have an ik, which is going to be, keep in mind the savarna letters. E, U. So I don't have to write the savarna letters here, okay? E, U, R, and U. Okay? And then we have yen, ayavarat, lan. So ya, fa, ra, la. That's the yen. Here's the ik, here's the yen. Okay, now there's two different sutras. One that's going to talk about order, right? And one that's going to talk about that which is closest. Okay? This is talking, this sutra. Let's see if I can find the. Hold on a second. I don't think. I don't have that one in this group. We'll get to it there later. This one is talking about that which is closest in terms of asya, prayatnam, and then there's other ways of determining also how something is the closest. It can be closest in terms of meaning. Closest in terms of number here, but the primary is closest in terms of asya. Okay? And so that is what this stane antaratamaha, that which is closest to the stane, right? So here, this is what's being replaced. Right? So it's in the place of this we have this audacia. Which one? We can say in accordance with the Maheshwara Sutras, goes like this, but here he's not really referring to the order of the Maheshwara Sutras. He's talking about that which is closest to the stani, so the thing that's going to be replaced. And so you have to know what is the order of, what do you call that? What is strongest? And then what comes next and next and next. The strongest is the asya in terms of similarity. Right? It could be asya, then another one is meaning, then another one is number, that type of thing.
Oh.
You see what I mean? Uh-huh. But primary is asya, and that's the one that's being used here. I can look up the list of the others in a minute. I will, in fact. So now, if you say E, the asya, it's all of you. U. Right? Oshtavya. You have to match them. Right? According to what is closest. And the asya is going to be the strongest. Okay?
So that's a kind of organizing principle that asya is the primary.
That's right. The asya is primary. Now there'll be another one where that is not going to apply. When that doesn't apply, and we haven't gotten to that sutra yet, when it doesn't apply, asya or priyatna, then it'll be the order that he gives in the sutra. If he gives an order of the stone, of the thing that's going to be replaced in the sutra, and then he gives an order of what is replacing it, the two orders have to match. You see what I mean? Like if he gives in the sutra, say I'm just making this up for now, if he says for A, in the place of A, this is the Ayava, A, O, I, and Ao, in the place of this, you're going to see this in a sutra. I of I of. Right? That is going to be 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's going to be another way of reading a sutra.
Like in English when you say respectively.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, respective word. Respective.
No, I'm sorry. I don't follow what the meaning of the sutra is.
That's because I don't remember the sutra. We've got to get to it. If I had more fingertip, I could just write the sutra. But there's
the one that we're studying, the number 50.
Stani, okay. Mm-hmm. That which is closest in reference to the stani. So that which is closest, okay. So now if we take this as an example, right? In the place of ik, right? Yan. This is the stani.
Yeah.
So in reference to the stani,
right.
The audacia, which audacia do you want to use? These are the audacias, because yan sendi, hayavara lan. So the yan is the semi-vowels.
Audacia being the one that will replace.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right. So the audacia, the audacia is going to be the closest.
So which audacia? What always, that means whatever is in the sixth case, the next one has to be the audacia. Is that what that's saying?
No.
Okay.
Let me start again. So erase anything in your mind.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the sutra. And it comes right after this one.
Yeah.
This one says, for the sixth case is used, right? Its operation is always in relationship to the stani. And stani means in the place of. That's how we translate it within a sutra. That's the yoga, is the grammatical operation. So the shashti, its grammatical operation, right, is stani, in the place of. Okay? Now, how do you know if there are a number of audacious replacing another number of stanis? How do you know which audacia goes with which stani? Like, for instance, in this sutra, Iko Yanachi, these are all the semi-vowels except a. All of the vowels except, simple vowels except a. Yeah.
Okay. I think I follow. Yeah. I was thinking that if there are many sthanas, many groups of sthana and audacia within one sutra, that's not what it's saying. It's saying the group of letters which form the sthana and the group of letters which form the audacia. Those come respectively after each other. Okay.
That's right. Okay. Well, it's not, that's another sutra.
Right.
Everything's all perfect what you said, except for the last half of your sentence. Now it's with this, there's a sutra like what you just said, but this sutra says is that you're going to match these up according to the asya, according to the placement. This E is talu.
Okay, yeah, this is talu. Yours, talu. It's, okay.
Asya Puryatnam Savaranam. Talu, talu, right?
Yeah, E is not going to be replaced by Ra.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to know which goes with which.
Okay.
Right? And so it just so happens that if you're thinking in terms of the Maheshwara or in sutras, the Pratyaharas, this also is cited in that order.
That's right.
Right? And so it would also match, like you were saying, there's another sutra for that. But it won't always. Now, sometimes, like with this Ayavasandhi that we're going to be learning, it's called the Ayavasandhi, that doesn't match in that same way.
Right.
There we have to do it in terms of sequence.
Respectively.
Right?
Okay, so this Thani that is being used in Sutra number 50 is actually being used to denote the place of articulation, like Kantaya, you know, it's actually being used to mean the place of articulation, and it's not being used technically as that which replaces from...
What this is actually, I'm giving this Iko Yanachi as an example.
No, I'm talking about number 49.
This is 49.
Which is used as, technically, as that which is in the place of, right? That's what Sthani means there.
Yeah, but it's saying, but wait a minute, this is saying the sixth case
has the grammatical application, yoga, asthane, which is translated in the sthana, in the place of.
Right.
Okay? And then this is a limiting sutra, so you, I mean, it's an explanatory sutra of this, that in reference to the sthana, right, then what the audacia, the thing that's going to be replacing, how do you know which audacia, if there's more than one? Like, for instance, in this verse, in this sutra, Iko Yenachi, there's all of the simple vowels. Here's all of the, right, semi-vowels. How do you know which goes to which? How do you know which semi-vowel? You already know this, so it's probably kind of a no-brainer, but everything has to be defined in Pali.
Right, I'm just saying this Pani, the use of the word Pani in number 49 versus number 50 is not identical.
No, that's right.
That's what I was getting confused on.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the play, this just means in reference to the stone.
And also one more question. In number 50, Adesha is an anuvritti that does not come from 49.
It comes obviously from above, a couple of sutras above.
Okay. Yeah. So, but number 49 doesn't necessarily have to use it.
That's right. And that's important to know also. Let me look one thing up for you. Just, you can relax now. We're coming into the end room. Let me read this to you just for your information. There are four sorts of proximity or nearness. Right? Okay. One, nearness of place, sthana. That's the asya. That's number one. Nearness of meaning, artha. Nearness of meaning such as singular terminations to be used after words used in the sense of the singular. You know, like if you're using saying something in the singular, you want to use a singular termination. Mm-hmm. If you use a nominative singular as a for the noun, you're going to have to use a singular termination for the verb. Right? So there'll be some sutras that involve that. A third one is nearness in quantity or pramana, such as a short vowel to replace a short vowel, a long vowel, a long vowel. The fourth is nearness in quality or guna, such as aspirates to replace aspirates and sonants to replace sonants, soft consonants. Of all these approximates, the first, the nearness in the organ of utterance, has preference in the selection of the proper substitute, and that's usually the one you're going to see. Okay, that's just a little extra.
That's good.
Yeah. I think we should stop. Ready? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha Hari Om.